This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
I saw this movie, and I'm going to show you what they do.
Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, was the winner at the box office this weekend.
I changed my mind.
Earning an estimated $21.7 million in its debut.
There's potential for catastrophic weather events on a global scale.
The long-delayed disaster epic Geostorm opened in second, but with a disappointing box office take of $13.3 million against a reported production budget of $120 million. Last week's number one, Happy Death Day, drops to third, followed by Blade Runner 2049. And another newcomer is at number five.
I feel like the end of the world. As long as you can breathe, you can survive.
Only the Brave is about the Granite Mountain Hotshots firefighting team. I'm Ben Thomas.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a super special guest for you. We're joined by actress Jessica A. Caesar. Jessica, how's it going?
Good. How's everything going with you?
Hey, going great, going great. Just got done watching the World Series game, too, and it was insane.
Yes, crazy. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's like, it's cool because, like, it was such an intense game, especially towards the end. And then, you know, we're also getting a chance to just watch history unfold. You know, the Astros' first, you know, World Series playoff game, and then the Dodgers, you know, they haven't won a World Series in like 29 years, and so it's just like so cool watching history unfold, but also just being on the edge of your seat. You know, like tonight was like one of those games where towards the end it really could have gone to either team, and so it's just really cool to see how it all played out.
Yeah, because even game one, like, it was close, 1-1, and then Justin Turner gets a home run, and they get 2 runs, and then it was 3-1, and then same thing happened. The Astros had 1 run this game, and then the Dodgers got a run, and then next thing you know, it was 3-1 again, and then out of nowhere, like, the Astros just started hitting homers, and the Dodgers were hitting them, too, and then I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm like, we're going to go all night with this. But it is exciting, though, and the thing is like, because of course I'm a Dodgers fan, and I'm like, oh, my God, 29 years, like, it's about time. But then, like, with everything going on with Houston, with the hurricane, and, like, this could be their first World Series, I guess, like, I mean, even though I would love the Dodgers, see the Dodgers win, like, I guess it would, either team, if they won, it would be well-deserved. If they keep playing like they did tonight in Game 1, I think it would be well-deserved whoever comes out on top.
Absolutely, yeah. It's hard to, because, like, I'm rooting for the Dodgers as well, but it's, like, it's hard not to want to see Houston do well, too. You know, it's kind of one of those games where there's really not, like, a villain or you know.
I know, right?
Because, like, with, like, the last Super Bowl, it's, like, yes, Atlanta and New England, and, like, a lot of people hate New England.
Everyone wanted Atlanta to win. Like, I don't know, I'm just a Tom Brady fan. I don't know why, and everyone, like, hates me for it, but, like, everyone was rooting for the Falcons, except for me and, like, one other person, like, during the Super Bowl. Well, I feel like this for the World Series is totally different.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, it is. It's, like, night and day. Like, this whole World Series, I think it's hard for people to kind of take sides. I was even talking to, like, some coworkers, and they were saying the same thing. It's, like, it's so hard to take sides on this one, and so it's completely different from the Super Bowl. I never pictured
like
you as a Brady fan, though. I never pictured you as a Brady fan.
You know what? Well, this is why I like it. Like, people are like, oh, my gosh, he has good looks. He's married to a supermodel. Like, the reason why I admire Tom Brady so much is that he was, like, the 199th pick in the draft. Like, he almost didn't even get drafted. So then to me, like, and then to see him, that's the thing. Like, he was 199 out of, like, 200. And then even when he's, like, explaining the story, like, and he tears up and gets emotional, and he said that he had to go, like, when they weren't calling his name, he didn't get a call. Like, he went around the neighborhood, and then he started crying and getting upset. Like, a lot of people don't know that. And to me, to see, like, that happen, and then he's, like, literally a legend. He's a legend. I mean, you can say all the things about his scandals and all that, but I'm like, he's the real deal. You know what I mean? He can deliver. He's so talented. And then just that story, that's why. And he worked hard. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, he worked really, really hard, and I admire things like that. So that's why I'm a Brady fan. But a lot of people, like, they don't pick him slack at all. But, like, no, like, I admire the guy for that. I mean, I think he is the GOAT, at least the greatest of my time.
You know, I didn't even know that story. Admittedly, like, I had no idea about that story. And it kind of, man, it makes me kind of rethink him. Because, yeah, like, I'm kind of on that bandwagon where I'm like, oh, boo, Tom Brady, he can suck it. But, I mean, like, that's a really inspirational story. I mean, to be counted out as, like, you know, the last, but then to come back and to be, you know, essentially the
best.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. So, man, I
got
to get
that. And even when he does interviews and stuff, yeah, I feel like I maybe it's just how he carries himself, but either way, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, even though, like, he has 5 Super Bowls and, like, I mean, his team's great. Well, another thing I admire him for is that he doesn't take his entire salary. He gives it back, some of it back to the team, to the Patriots. That way they can have more money for a salary cap to get the guys that they need to have a good team. So when you think about all those things, it's like, well, you can't get mad at them that they're always good, or if he works really hard to stay on top of his game. Like, all those other things that he does, that's why I like him so much. And a lot of people just are like, oh, I hate him, or you just go with the flow with everyone else. But then when I look at all those things, I just admire all those things about him that I think it's, well, all his achievements are, like, well-deserved.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've got to kind of open my eyes and you know, just acknowledge that. I mean, I definitely, you know, I'm not a Patriots fan by any means, but, you know, like, I can definitely admit, you know, when the facts are there, and, like, that's really cool. I had no idea any of that. So, wow, that is very eye-opening.
Yeah, but I mean, so that's why I mean, I'm not like I am a 49ers fan, but I don't have a problem with the Patriots. And it is entertaining, like, watching them play their games and stuff, you know? So yeah, that's why I admire the guy.
Absolutely. That's a good reason. I you know, I wonder, like, if more people, like, if they know about that or if they don't know, because I think maybe if more people knew all of that stuff that you just told me, maybe there'd be less haters, you know, people critical of him as a player and, you know, as a human being, you know. I think people, you know what I mean? Because, like, some people, they're just like, I don't know. It's like they just, I don't know, like, they just love to hate, you know. They just, you know, I think if they knew, you know, like, what you just told me, I think it would kind of make people a little bit,
maybe change your perception a bit, or be like less harsh on him or less critical. And another thing I tell people is that I'm sure they weren't the only team that cheated. They're just probably the only ones that keep getting like, I mean, I don't know. I can't. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, come on, man. I was like, there's other teams probably doing things. They just keep getting caught, which is the problem.
Yeah, good point there.
But who knows? Maybe they didn't, you know, deflate their balls. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I wasn't either.
Yeah. So, but either way, I mean, but they still win. Like, so I don't, I mean, will scandal or not, like they still have talent.
That is true. That is very, very true. You know, at the end of the day, it's like you still have to give credit where credit's due. And so it's as tumultuous as, like, things have been for their team at certain times. Like, they definitely show up and show out. So, like, you gotta.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You gotta give them props. And I mean, and the fans that they do have are, like, fiercely loyal. So.
Totally loyal, totally loyal. Like, I mean, or even people from, like, that region or that area, like, they're, I mean, and not just even Patriots fans, but they're diehard, like Boston Red Sox fans, like, you know what I mean? Like, the Celtics, like, they're just diehard, like, every sport, they're diehard committed fans.
I know, man. Try arguing with one of them.
I don't even bother. Like, I don't even bother. Like, yeah, that's just, yeah, that's a mistake.
I know. Man. So speaking of sports, did you happen to play any sports growing up or like when you were at school?
Well, growing up, I was a tomboy. I have two brothers, and I have an older sister, and then later on, my parents had my younger sister, but it wasn't planned. But I used to play, like, football and basketball and soccer with my brother, like, my brother Jesse, like, any sport, like, I would just always play with him and be a tomboy. And I would do basketball with him, like, in the yard because we had, like, a basketball hoop. But for some reason, like, I wanted to be a cheerleader in middle school. My mom's like, why you should play basketball? But I was afraid to get hurt.
I did
cheerleading, which I know, I don't know why, and I'm tall also, so I wanted to do cheerleading. And then with that, I did, like, some gymnastics and stuff because we had to learn floor exercises. And I didn't run track or anything. And then my brother, though, he played basketball, football, and ran track. So then, like, my passion for sports comes through both of my brothers played football in high school, and they ran track. And my older brother didn't play basketball, though. And then my brother Jesse went to college and played football at Illinois State. So I've always been a fan. Like, either I'm cheering for him on the sidelines as a cheerleader or just, like, as a fan, like, watching and spectating and cheering him on. So I am a diehard sports fan, but I didn't play any myself, which I kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it. Like, cheerleading was fine. It was fulfilling. But I would have wondered, like, if I did play basketball, like, things could have been different.
Hey, I understand completely. And, I mean, hey, there's, like, nothing wrong with that because, I mean, some of the, like, the greatest minds, like, in, you know, like, in sports, just in terms of just understanding the sports and just commentating on it and everything, have been people that, you know, didn't actually play, but, you know, they just understand it and they love the sports and the specific sport, and they're just able to really just relate to it. So, I mean, that's still cool.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. we've been taking listener questions, and there is a listener in Florida, a student at FAMU, and she wrote into us and she wanted us to ask you what inspired you to become an actress. Her name is Angela, and she's a student at FAMU.
Okay, well, to Angela, I remember as a little girl, like, I loved watching, like, sitcoms. Like, I had Martin, Living Single, I mean, so many, like, the greatest, like, I think sitcoms, or Full House, you know what I mean? Like, the greatest sitcoms, I think, and Family Matters and Step by Step, like, all in the 90s. So I remember watching TV, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I want to do that, you know what I mean, when I get older. So it's always been a dream of mine when I was a kid, but when I really got serious about it, I remember I was, like, 14, and they had on TV, they were advertising about having auditions for the show All That on Nickelodeon, and they were going to be in West Palm. And I remember begging, like, my mom and, like, even my sister's older friends, like, can you please drive me to West Palm? Because we lived in Central Florida, so I was like, can you please drive me to, like, West Palm Beach for this audition? And they wouldn't. And then I was like, So then I was like, well, I really, really, really want to be an actress. So I remember taking my first, like, acting/modeling class. Like, my parents, they at least drove me to Orlando, and I went to, like, this modeling acting school, and then I started doing, like, community theater at the Cocoa Village Playhouse. They considered it semi-professional theater, but also known as community theater, and they would do musicals there. So I started doing shows there and then school plays. And then when I graduated high school, my first professional job, acting job, I did a local commercial. It was, like, for this, like, utility company commercial. And that was, like, my first, like, professional job that I got paid for. And it was actually my first audition, too. I had a local agent. It was my first audition. I had no clue what I was doing or what. I knew I had to bring 2 headshots with me. But that was all I knew. And then I booked it, like, my first audition. So that was cool. So, and then ever since then, like, I just kept going at it and kept doing it. But I knew as a teenager that's when I wanted to pursue it professionally. But ever since I was a kid, I was like, oh, you know what, I want to act, or I want to be on a TV show, or that's what I want to do when I get older.
Right on. Man, that's awesome. So I just want to say, Angela, I apologize if you're listening to this. You actually go to Florida State University, not FAMU, so I apologize.
Okay. Well, they're not that far away. FAMU and Florida State, they're not that far away.
Yeah, that's true. That is actually very, very true. Yeah, I think they're both in Tallahassee, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
And your story about West Palm was so funny. I actually grew up in Lake Worth, which is like a suburb of West Palm. And so, that's cool. That's so cool that you got your start like in West Palm. Like, that's awesome. Because it's mostly like a retiree, like community area. And, like,
it is. I mean, it's so nice, but like it totally is a retirement home. That and like if you want to retire, you go to West Palm Beach, got some golf courses,
right?
And that's what you do.
Yeah, that's so true. Or you got the, you know, the insanely rich people like the Kennedys and stuff that had homes there. But, I mean, yeah, other than that, so that's pretty cool that you got your start in acting there. That's awesome. So what keeps you going? Because I know acting, I mean, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of time in between just various projects. You know, sometimes, like, you may do something and it may, you know, take up 3 months out of the year. But then it's like you'll have a period of, like, 4 months where you're not employed, where you're not, you know, working or doing anything. How do you get through those times? Like, cause, I mean, I'd imagine that it's got to be pretty tough on you.
Oh, yeah, and it's also tough because you don't, like, whenever you are on a job or you book a job and it's great and you're employed for that period of time, and the thing is that it's the unknown, like, you don't know when you're going to work again, you know what I mean? Or you can have periods where you're working all the time, and then, like, 6 months go by and then you're not working at all, but in between you're still auditioning and you're trying to land your next job. We're human at the end of the day. Like, it's cliche where people are like, oh, don't give up, you know, just keep going, like, it'll work out for you. But then also you're human as well, and you just, it's rejection after rejection after rejection, and it's part of the business, and you hear, like, 99 no's to one yes, but there's some days where it may tear me down, or, like, it's like, oh my gosh, like, how can I just keep going and keep moving forward? But, I mean, to me, I always tell myself that I don't, like, some people are like, I don't have a plan B, it's only plan A. But for me, I just can't, when I think about it, when times get tough, or I get into those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how long, you know, can I keep going and keep hustling and keep doing this? But I just can't imagine myself doing anything else but acting. So that's what keeps motivating me, because I know I wouldn't be happier doing anything else. And they say if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And then I think that's true with acting. I don't see it as, I mean, it's work, but I don't see it as, like, a job where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get sick of this. Or, I'm always happy whenever I'm on set or I'm always doing something. And it's a joy. And it's, I don't see it as, like, a job or, like, a chore. So that's what keeps me going, is that I can't see myself or imagine myself being able to do anything else for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I would say, like, that's some good life advice, too, because I know there's nothing more miserable than, you know, having to do a job that you hate and that, you know, that you have to, you know, show up for. And, you know, so the fact that you love what you do is really, really cool, because it does get you through the times where, you know, things aren't so rosy and things aren't so, you know, swell and flowery. I mean, there are, like you said, there are times where it gets tough, but your love of it is what really, you know, really carries you through. So that's awesome.
Oh, thank you. And I have so many friends, like, they, you know, they do, like, what society says, like, you graduate high school, you go to college, like, you get a bachelor's degree, and then you start your career. And there's so many people who have awesome, like, majors and awesome degrees, even have master's degrees, and they can't even get a job in the field of study that they went to school for, and then they're just doing whatever they are doing because they needed to find a job quickly to pay off all their student loans. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, sometimes, like, even though you're supposed to follow the straight and narrow, or like it just doesn't. You know what I mean? Like that's why I'm like, well, there's nothing else I can see myself doing. So this is it. Like,
yeah, and I think I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong, because you know I know nothing about the business, but it almost seems like that's the mindset that you need in order to be successful in acting or to make it long term as an actor, because if you had that fallback, so to speak, it's like that may hinder you from, you know, I guess just going all out and just, you know, sacrificing what, you know, what's needed or what it takes to, you know, to be progressive in, you know, in that field. You know, because like you said, like there are times where it gets really, really tough. Like there's lack of work, or you know, sometimes the hours that you work are crazy. And so,
yeah.
I think if you weren't like just die hard about it, like you probably would throw in the towel. You'd be like, man, this sucks.
No, you're absolutely right, because some people go into it thinking, oh, you know, let me try it out, or like, oh, it could be a cool hobby, or being on TV is cool, or like, oh, I want to be famous. And like, if those are what your reasons are, I say get out. You know what I mean? Because like, it's just not like, I mean, just the things that you have to go through, the hurdles that you have to go through, like it'll tear you down. Like, I mean, you just can't do it for like the sake of, if it's not something that you absolutely love or are passionate about, I say then don't do it at all, because it's just not going to be worth it. You know what I mean? Like it's just unless it comes easy to you because you don't care as much, but that could happen. But like you have to be either all or nothing, you know, like this has to be your joy. Other than that, like, or you may say, you know what, I tried it and it didn't work out. Okay, whatever. I'll just go be this teacher, or go, you know what I mean, go back to my 9-to-5, or, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, I feel like you have to love it and be extremely passionate about it to keep moving forward and progressing.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree 100%, you have done so much work. I mean, you've been in Atlanta, Grey's Anatomy, Vice Principals, Grimm, you know, just to name a few things. And then you also have your own new web series that I want to talk about as well. Do you have a favorite genre of acting that you do? Do you prefer to do more comedy, or do you like drama? Do you prefer action? Do you have a preference?
Like, my preference is comedy. Like, I just feel like it's just, with comedy, like, it's just, I feel like you're always on, it's always fun, like it's always alive, exciting, like something different. And I love making people laugh too. So comedy's always been my favorite genre. Of course I'll do drama, because there's actually more dramas on TV than there are comedies. I've always loved comedy. I enjoy watching comedy, especially like the crazy times that we're living in now. Like, I just want to laugh. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, like, you know, like, there's so much that you can read about on Twitter about 45, and why do I want to be depressed about that all day, every day for the next God knows how many years? Like, let me escape, get away, and let me, like, watch Will and Grace or something and, like, laugh for 30 minutes, you know? So I've always, always loved comedy. And even action movies, I like the action movies that have, like, a little comedy in it, like the Fast and Furious, or like even like Mission Impossible, where it's like an action movie, but there's like these funny moments to it. Like, I like those type of action movies.
absolutely, yeah. Kind of like almost like the new Lethal Weapon. It's kind of like the movie. It's got the humorous part, but then the action. Those are really cool. I like those too.
Definitely.
Tell me, what was it like for you, I guess, like your first major role that you booked? What was it like for you? Do you remember the emotions that you had, the feelings, the mindset that you were in?
Yeah, like I remember my first, my first TV job in LA was actually, it was a sketch show that Nick Cannon was producing. are for Cartoon Network. It was a live sketch show. It was a kid's show. And it was improv-based, which it was fun. And I remember being happy getting, like, that first, like, you know, TV gig. But then after that, I guess a major break after that was I was cast in 3 episodes on The Young and the Restless. So I remember going to the audition. Well, first I go to CBS, and they no longer have any more parking spaces in, like, the lot, so you have to valet park at the studio. And I literally, as an actor, like, your car is literally, like, your changing room between auditions. So I have, like, clothes and stuff everywhere, and I'm trying to move it out of the way. And the valet's like, it's okay, sweetheart. Just give me your keys. And I was like, okay, thank you. And I remember going, and, like, I honestly felt like I bombed the audition. Like, I didn't think I did well at all. And then, like, the next day, and I was like, oh, it's okay, it's fine, you know? And then the next day, I get a call that I booked it. And at first, I was like, are you serious? Like, I thought, well, I didn't tell them that on the phone. But I was like, are you serious? I did, like, horrible. But they say those were the best auditions. Then I remember being excited because the shows that I watched growing up were One Life to Live and All My Children, which don't even exist anymore. So I never watched any of the CBS soaps. I remember my mom loved The Bold and the Beautiful, and I would sometimes watch it with her, but I never watched YNR. So then I'm like, oh my gosh, so I have to go and, like, start watching, like, as much episodes as I can to figure out what's going on, who I'm acting with in the scene. And then this was actually the year, it was their 40th anniversary, so it was 40 years of them doing YNR. It was the number one daytime soap. I don't know if they're still number one, but they were number one at the time. So I'm like, oh my gosh, holy crap, this is, like, huge. So then I'm watching, like, episodes trying to do my homework and educate myself, and then they update the script. And then now I have a kissing scene, which wasn't in the original, like, draft of, like, the size. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be my first, like, on-screen kiss, my first, like, network TV show. And then I'm like, it's my first, like, soap. So it was, like, excitement, kind of nerve-wracking, kind of nervous a bit, because I have to do, and of course, my kissing scene was on the first day. I get to set. But, like, I mean, it was, like, I mean, the actors are so cool, like, and the actor who I worked with, Robert Adamson, was so nice and, like, and made me feel comfortable. And, I mean, it was definitely probably one of the best, like, experiences. I mean, to get thrown so many things, like, it was my first, like, major job. Yeah, but it was a great experience, and then, like, it was exciting, and then I was like, but that's when the kissing scene got out the way. Like, we got that out the way, like, the first day. But, no, it was fun, but it's also with a lot of people don't know what soaps, like, those actors work really, really hard because they shoot 60 pages of dialogue a day. You get one take, sometimes two, you know, if you're lucky, but it's usually one take. They rehearse in the morning, and then they do a light rehearsal. Then after that, they go into hair and makeup, like, they start shooting. So it's, like, I would consider it, like, an actor's boot camp. And, like, those actors work really, really, really hard, and I feel like sometimes they're not as, like, appreciated. You know what I mean? Because, like, oh, it's a soap. But they worked very, 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 very hard. Yeah, and I mean, it was just a great experience, is that being my first job and all the things that I was thrown at, and even given a chance, you know what I mean? Like, not having done the soap or any, like, major TV before. So, yeah, like, all those emotions. And then I remember I was like, oh, should I ask one of my male friends? Like, can I just run lines with you and, like, kiss you to help me, like, for this tomorrow? And they're like, I mean, we could. We could kiss or whatever, but, like, it's going to be totally different when you get on set anyways. I'm like, okay, true. So maybe we won't go that route. it was so much emotions going through. And then I didn't even tell my mom about the kissing scene. I mean, she was watching, and then she's three hours ahead of me. So she's, like, watching, and then she texts me, and she's like, oh, I saw that kissing scene, and I know the next scene's going to be in the bed. And I guess she felt the need to text it because she didn't want to say it out loud in front of my dad. But I was just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was definitely fun and a great experience, and an experience that will live on in my head and memory for, like, a really, really long time.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you, so when you're preparing for, like, an audition, do you have, like, any, I guess, pre-audition rituals that you do to kind of help you with, like, the anxiety and just kind of take the edge off?
It depends. Like I feel like I put whenever it's like a major audition, like a huge audition, like if it's like a series regular audition, of course we like I put more pressure on myself to do well because it's life changing. Those auditions are the most life changing ones. But like sometimes like to calm me down or even to help me prepare for like the character that I'm going in for, like I always like to listen to music. But the music I listen to depends on how I want my mood to be. So if I want to be like calm and like relax, then I'll like listen to some music that will help me do that. Or if I'm like auditioning for like Criminal Minds or something and I need to be like emotional or whatever, like I'll listen to like some like, not like heavy metal music, but like maybe like some rock music or I don't know, something that gets me into like a somber like mood or like an emotional state. Music helps, or then sometimes I'm just like playing back, like I'll record the lines on my phone, and while I'm driving to the studio or wherever I'm going to, I'll just replay my lines too. That way it helps me calm down. Because once like, and another thing too with actors, like a lot of times when we have auditions, we get them literally the night before, and then you're trying to memorize lines, but then like, also, you need to be in it and be in the moment and be able to connect and all that. So, like, once you, if, I'm not worried about the lines. I already know the lines and I can just play with it and be the character. Then that seems to help also for me.
Absolutely. I was going to ask, I would imagine that, like, learning your lines in such a short amount of time has got to be, you know, somewhat arduous at times. What helps you with, like, remembering and just, I guess not freaking out about, you know, learning them and getting them down pat.
Yeah, I know, like if it's, like, language that I don't speak in my everyday life, like medical jargon and all that stuff, like, sometimes I have to use index cards, like flashcards, and write the character, the other character's lines on one side of the card and then write my lines on the other side, because that seems to help. Or if it's, like, a lot of dialogue, and I just can't, like, sometimes I can, it's a muscle, so sometimes I can just read it and then memorize it. It's just, like, how I would talk in my regular everyday life. But then if it's, like, I don't know if I'm, like, playing a lawyer or, like, even a cop or, like, some type of scientist or, like, if it's, like, a doctor or something and it's just language that I don't speak in my everyday life and sometimes it's harder to memorize it, then I have to use my flashcards. Or, like, I record the lines and then play it back to help me. But the thing is that if you're, like, I have to know, like, some actors I know, they're like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, my first audition or a pre-read, like, I don't have to be off book, but for me, I need to, because otherwise I can't, if I'm in the page or I'm thinking about, oh, what's my next line, when do I need to say it, then I can't be living in the moment and being this person while I'm in the room.
Gotcha. I understand completely. What's the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your work? I know that you've got, I mean, your work, your body work is ever, you know, ever growing, ever changing. And you've had so many roles. You know, on the subject of legacy, just, you know, looking ahead, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, what do you want people to get when they see the work that you've done?
In regards to if it's comedy, like, I want to be able to make people laugh or make them find joy or, like, or entertain them or go back and think, oh, my gosh, like, her work is or her comedic timing is just, like, amazing or, like, she's great at her craft. Or, like, if it's, like, a dramatic piece or a drama or something, like, I want them to be either uplifted or inspired or maybe be motivated or, like, think of whenever you think of types of actors who are just, like, amazing and brilliant and just, like, intelligent and so specific in their choices, like, maybe I want to be on that list of people. Like, I mean, people that come to my mind, I think, Leonardo DiCaprio, like, it just took him forever to get that Oscar, but he's brilliant, you know, like, and everything that he does. Meryl Streep, like, oh my gosh, like, she's just a league of her own, like, no one can be Meryl Streep, like, that woman is a freak of nature, like, no matter what role she plays, like, I mean, she is, like, just lost in, like, this completely different, like, person. So, like, I think of that, like, I'm not saying I don't want to, I mean, would I love to win an Oscar one day? Absolutely. But just when people think of, like, a specific, like, style or type of actor, or maybe I want my name to come up on that list. Yeah, that's what I think I would want people to take away.
Awesome, okay.
For my work.
Right on. Hey, that's a good goal, and I think that's, you know, that is definitely something to aspire to and to work to achieve, because, you know, like, that's, you know, like you said, it's like, you gave the example of Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, he really is, like, an inspiration, because, you know, here's a guy that, you know, had been, you know, acting since, you know, he was a child, essentially. And,
yeah. You know, like, I think he was in Growing Pains, and I remember him from the Basketball Diaries. Then he did Romeo and Juliet, and, like, I mean, actually, he was a kid, and then, of course, Titanic put him on the map, you know what I mean, made him a bona fide, like, movie star. But, like, yeah, he's been at it forever.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's some dedication, you know, to stick with it even when, you know, you're not getting what you think you should deserve. I mean, that goes back to what you said earlier, you know, you know, part of acting is just, you know, making sure that that's what you want to do. And if it is, just, you know, dedicating your life to your craft, because, I mean, it's sometimes it may take years for people to notice you, you know, to notice what you've done. But I think if you do your best and you leave it all out there with each performance, I think at the end of the day, you know, you're pleased with the work that you do, and you, I think you're more happy in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to jump ahead. I want to talk about your web series, Mean Queens.
Yes.
I think it's so cool. Tell me about it. Like, what was, I guess, what went into its inception, and what led you to create it?
Well, I always wanted to create a web series, and I just didn't know, because everyone's like, oh, you should do your own web series, and I knew I wanted it to be a comedy. Then one of the things, before I decided to do a web series, I was doing sketches, and I always did sketches off of spoofs or things that I thought were, like, annoying, or, like, I poked fun at it and wanted to make it into, like, you know, some type of a comedic sketch. So for some reason, whenever I watched Miss USA, I would only watch Miss USA actually for the question and answer portion, because I don't know why, but it ends up being pure comedy. And these girls, like, they're beautiful, they're intelligent, they think they're answering these questions, like, intellectually, and they're just not. But for some reason, it's so cringe-worthy, and, like, and I mean, if you go on YouTube and just watch them, there's a billion of them. And I just thought that it was just so, for some reason, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is hysterical. This is, like, hilarious. And then, like, I remember when Keeping Up with the Kardashians first came out, like, I admit, I did watch it. In the beginning, like, we all watched it because that's what made them into the millionaires and, you know, and the empire that they are now. Like, I remember watching it, and I'm laughing, and it's pretty much a show about nothing. It was just a show about nothing, but it was just funny. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like, so for some reason I was like, okay, I want to marry these things, like, Beauty Queens, well, not Miss America, because I feel like Miss America, like, they're super intelligent, like, they're required to be in college and have charities and all that, but Miss USA, like, it's all about the plastic surgery and the good looks. I'm like, how can I marry, like, something with Beauty Queens, like Miss USA, into, like, some reality show? And then, and I'm thinking, like, to be so ridiculous and over the top, I'm like, it should be, like, an internet reality show. I don't know why, because everyone's doing with, like, Instagram, Snapchat, and, like, all these things are to be viral or Insta-famous or whatever. I'm like, I think it would be ridiculous if they're trying to be internet famous. So then that's where the concept came up. And then with memes, with Meme Queen, because I, at first it was, like, the Untitled Project, and my co-star, who also helped me write it, Gillian Messer, I was telling her, I was like, I can't think of the perfect title. Like, I thought of Fame Queens, and I just didn't like how that sounded. And I'm like, but I want to incorporate Beauty Queens and the internet and fame somehow. And then she threw out the name, like, Meme Queens. And then I was like, holy crap. Because, like, I mean, how many of us, like, love, like, memes? Like, I love, like, I mean, whether they're, like, a video or, like, yes, even, like, the pictures, like, I'm laughing for hours, like, at the funny, especially Crying Jordan. I'm like, I don't know how much Crying Jordan can be abused in a meme, but for some reason, no matter how they use Crying Jordan, like, it's always funny. I don't know why. So I was like, holy crap, like, what we should do is, like, we should incorporate a meme in each episode and make the title of the episode that meme, depending on what crazy shenanigans they get into that episode. So that's kind of where the concept came into it. But then I was like, it has to be a comedy. I want to do a comedy because especially with the internet, like, and if something needs to be under 10 minutes or a good length, like, I feel like comedy is, like, the way to go. And then I wanted it to be about, I want it to be female-driven because they're just not as many, like, we have the Melissa McCarthy, we have Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, but there's so many funny, like, women out there, and I was like, I know I want us to be female-driven, like, have two girls be the stars of the show. But yeah, that's kind of how the inception came about and how it came to be, and then I remember doing, like, at least three drafts before I, like, pitched the whole thing to Kelly and had her, like, read the script. And then when she started doing the memes and all that other stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think this is going to be ridiculous. Like, I wanted to be ridiculous and, like, these girls thinking that they're ridiculous, they're over the top, but they don't think that they are. Which is kind of like when I'm watching, like, Miss USA, and I'm like, do these girls really not, I'm like, they don't get it. I was like, I don't think they get it. Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want this to be, like, their whole entire, like, attitude, like, throughout, which makes it funnier, you know, when they don't think that they're being ridiculous, but then the comedy's coming out of these, like, heightened, like, crazy, like, situations that they're getting themselves into.
Which, like you said, it mirrors the Miss America pageant.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, I mean, but I don't know if you've ever, like, watched any of them, but, like, I would say when you have time, just, like, a good 10 minutes of your life, like, I'm just like, you're just like, your stomach will be hurting so bad. And I feel bad for them. I mean, not really, because they get, you know, the airtime, the modeling contracts, like, but, like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, and I would only watch it for that portion. I was like, I turn it on, I'm like, oh, they're doing their introductions. When they do their introductions, they sound like they're, like, they just took, like, a bunch of helium. Like, when they say their name and, like, where they're from. I'm like, oh, swimsuit round. I was like, okay, let's get back to it. Let's get back to, like, the end. Like, where the real fun happens. And then the host is always like, oh, good answer, thank you. Like, you know, they have to, like,
right,
keep a straight face no matter what. Mario Lopez is really good at that, actually.
Speaking of which, did you hear that L.A. is getting a new Saved by the Bell themed restaurant?
No, I didn't hear that. No. Oh, wait, what is it going to be called? Like Saved by the Bell, or?
It's going to be called The Max, just like in the
show. Oh, from The Max, from the restaurant that they went to on the show.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Saved by the Bell will live on forever. That's another show I was even thinking about. Oh, my gosh, Saved by the Bell is classic. Like, I've seen every episode. Like, it's still in syndication, and it's still funny. Like, I was like, I know every moment what's about to happen, but for some reason, it's still funny to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, Golden Girls is like that as well, and that's, to me, like, that's the sign of good humor, like, of good writing, mm-hmm. and good humor. It's like when it transcends, you know, like, time period, like, decades. Like, the jokes are still very much relevant. They're funny. I mean, it's really cool. Like, I always have, like, said that to myself. I feel like that's kind of, like, one good mark of comedy.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember Betty White's character when she asked, I think it's Dorothy, when she was like, oh, can I ask a dumb question? And she's like, better than anyone I know. Like, just like every like line, or even like Sophia, like, and I mean, just their timing and Blanche, and just like, I don't know, the characters, and then like the timing and their comedic timing and the writing. Like, I love the Golden Girls too. I was like, I was so sad when they ended it, and then they wanted to do like their spinoff, and I was like, oh, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, but oh my gosh, the Golden Girls was hilarious, so hilarious.
Oh, I know. And, yeah, it's just, like, it's so relatable to the humor because, you know, like, sometimes, like, I'll admit, you know, as a guy, you know, sometimes, like, there'll be shows that, you know, I'll watch, like, with my sister or somebody, and, like, I don't really get the humor because I am a guy. But, you know, Golden Girls is, like, it's so cool because it's one of those shows where it was written so well to where – you can totally still, you know, understand and get the humor despite, you know, just, you know, being a dude, you know what I mean? It's like, it's written so
well.
Yeah. So I love it. It's just, it's awesome. In your opinion, what makes for good humor? Because I know that, you know, you've done a lot of work with comedy. And you said yourself, it's definitely like your favorite genre to act in. What would you say, I guess, creates good comedy or makes for good comedy?
Like, I would say, I mean, cause I love, like, I mean, of course I love the raunchy, like the crass, like humor, like, Bridesmaids, you know what I mean? Like or even like Amy Schumer or like Amy Poehler. Like, I love that type of comedy. And I feel like that type of comedy is relatable to guys too. Like The Hangover. Like, I love that like type of humor. But then also too, like, I don't know, like anything like Will Ferrell does, or like, I guess it's just, cause everyone has their own style. Like, even on Vice Principals, like, it's very like subtle and like, it's all just in the writing, like, just play it straight, it's in the writing, that's where the comedy comes, and I love comedy like that, too, like, it's funny, and then, like, I guess it's so hard to say, because it could be the writing, it could be, like, the improv skills that the actors use, it could just be, like, the situations that they're in. I mean, I don't know, I guess it's the audience laughs, and then the job well done, you know, check mark. But it's hard because there's so many different styles. It's like there's heightened comedy, like broad comedy, like, you know, I just, and I love all of them, you know what I mean? Like, but like, I guess it's just, if you can laugh at the end of the day, like, I was like, job well done, but it's so, like, I guess it's hard to, like, pinpoint it because there's so many different formulas, especially nowadays, like with the sitcoms, like they had a formula with like jokes and rhythms and beats and all that stuff, but now that like we're in a different time period and like there's all these single cam comedies, like Modern Family is so like hilarious, and even like it's funny, but it's like, you know, the subtlety of it, but it's just how the writing is and the little beats that they take and the moments they have makes it really, really funny. So yeah, like, yeah, I guess as long as like the audience laughs, like, I guess it, you know, job well done, but like, it's, yeah, cause there's so many different styles of it now, like, and even Zach Galifianakis, like he has like a serious kind of play on to his comedy, but it's just, because
yeah,
it's just him, he's funny, and Louis C.K. the same way too. It's just like, yeah, it's just, it's, for some reason, it's just funny, like, even though they're being subtle and like being super serious, it ends up being funny.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing because it's, I mean, comedy is something that, you know, like, everybody enjoys, but only like a select few people know how to really just execute it well and
yeah,
know how to, you know, to just do it. And I mean, I think it's like the gift of comedy is something that is just so amazing because, you know, laughter is good medicine, you know, it heals.
Definitely.
Power to do so much. And so, I just think it's great that, you know, you do comedy and that it's been such a big part of like your life and your career. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I know like Jamie Foxx, he is so talented, so great at comedy. And I understood him wanting to take on the serious dramatic, you know, role of an actor, and he got his Oscar, and I'm just like, Jamie, like, could you please, like, I'm like, can you please just do, like, one or two, like, comedy, you know what I mean? Like, he's just so gifted and so talented at it, and he can do both, you know? And I was like, I just want him to, like, I was like, please, can we, like, get, like, a good comedy, like, from you? I don't know if you ever seen him do Wheel of Impressions. He was on Jimmy Fallon, and it was Wheel of Impressions, and I think he had to do John Legend doing the Toys R Us Kids jingle. I mean, it's just, like, it's so spot on, so perfect. And then he also had to do Jennifer Hudson's Dreamgirls, but sing on top of spaghetti or something. I mean, it's just so perfect, so great. I'm like, Jamie, please do. I was like, he's so talented. I'm like, I'm begging you, like, Jamie, please do comedy again. But I mean, it's his career. I think he can, like, you know, I think he can get away with it now because, like, he's established himself as a serious, you know, dramatic actor. Like, he's won an Oscar. Like, he's producing and doing all these things. But, like, oh my gosh, he is so gifted and so great at it. Even in, when he did In Living Color, you know? Like, and that show was so great, too, and brilliant. I'm like, oh my gosh. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see if my wish is granted. I think Jamie Foxx is one of those people where they can just so amazing at it and can execute it beautifully. And I think it's just a gift for him. It's just natural and just a gift. But he's just brilliant, brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah, he definitely has a gifting for it. And I don't know. I mean, I've never met him. But he seems like he's, like, humble, too. Like, he seems like he's got, like, some humility to him. And so that makes him even more, you know, of course, enticing. And, you know, because people, you know, they love to be around people that are gifted but humble. You know, it makes them more relatable. And so
And grounds them, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kate McKinnon, like, I never met her, but, like, I feel like, or at least when she does, like, her interviews and even when she gets her, she does her speeches at the Emmys, and she seems so humble, but she is so freakishly talented, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. Like, I mean, she's going to be a megastar once her contract with SNL is up, but she seems like she's very humble and grounded and down to earth, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of which, what is it that keeps you so humble? Because I know that, you know, you had some humble beginnings and, you know, but you've gone on to do some really amazing things. And what would you say is, like, one thing that keeps you just grounded and humble?
I would say it's just that I feel because the thing is that, like, people say, like, once you're at the top, like, you have to be careful because, you know what I mean? Like, you're at the top at one point, you could be down at the bottom the next. Or even, like, the thought of, like, I haven't made it, per se. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, my gosh, like, you're on TV or this, that, and the other. And I'm blessed and I'm grateful, you know what I mean? But I feel like it's just, like, I'm still hungry. You know, like, I still have to achieve things and goals, and that's what keeps me humble, because it's like, at the end, I mean, we're all, like, regular human beings at the end of the day, even when you meet celebrities, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I remember meeting Oprah when I first came to LA, and, like, I was doing stand-in work, because I didn't have a job, and she was doing a reality show called Oprah's Big Give, and we all had, they needed stand-ins for the judges, so I was the stand-in for Chris Rock's wife, who was a judge on the show, and Oprah had a stand-in, but I'm like, oh, it's not like she's really going to show up, you know? Like, even though she has, like, a stand-in, I don't know why I thought that. I'm like, well, the other judges are coming the next day, but I don't think Oprah's going to be here. And we were in Long Beach in a hangar. I'm like, why are we shooting in a hangar? Well, it was because she flew her plane into Long Beach and landed it, and it's like a commercial, like, airline size airplane she owns with her dogs, the Cocker Spaniels, and she flew in to this hangar and her plane landed. And then, like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, and then she comes in and I'm like, do we even look at her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, what's going on? But she was the most, the sweetest, most down to earth, like, person ever. And I remember she ate from the same, like, crafty table that we were eating at. And the girl who was her stand-in started talking to Oprah's makeup artist. And I'm like, what are you doing? You can't just talk to, go up and talk to Oprah's makeup artist. Like, what's wrong with you? And he was, like, talking to her. And then he brings over to Oprah, and he's like, Oprah, have you met your stand-in? And at this point, I'm eating a bagel with cream cheese, and I'm in, like, I'm to the side, like, watching. And then she's like, oh, hello. And then she shakes her hand, and she introduces herself to her. And I'm just like looking in awe, like, oh, my gosh. And then she turns to me, Oprah turns to me, and she says, and you are. So then, of course, I have the bagel and cream cheese. And I'm like, oh, my mouth is full. I'm like, oh, my name is Jessica. And then she shakes my hand. She's like, nice to meet you, Jessica. And I was like, holy crap. And I mean, she's like talking jokes with us. And I don't know. To me, I'm just like, the richest black woman in the world. Like, it's so humble and down to earth. And is it cheap? So many things. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, she's normal. Like, you and me. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, I mean, I guess like celebrities and stuff, we put them on, you know, like a pedestal, and I mean, she was just so, like, just down to earth and just, like, humble and such a nice person. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, and to me, things like that humble me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that she's, like, eating, like, trail mix, like us. You know what I mean? From, like, the table. Like, not her special kind. Like, literally, like, we got there, got the table, we got our food, and took the trail mix out. She did the same exact thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I was just like, wow. Like, I don't know, that to me, I mean, I guess I couldn't get any more humble than that. I'm going to admit she was so nice, and then she kept telling us thank you. And I'm like, well, thank you, because, I mean, she's paying us, you know, to be stand-ins, but the fact that she kept, you know, thanking us, and thanks for coming, and, like, and all these things, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, yeah, like, I just, I mean, to me, like, just seeing things like that, I'm like, wow, like, you know what I mean, like, this is, like, but, like, this woman that, I mean, I have so many great things to say about her. She's, like, a role model and, you know, everything, and just an entrepreneur and, like, motivated and, like, and she actually had very, like, she came from pretty much nothing where she's at now. And, I mean, when I see, yeah, met her and just how she was, I'm just like, wow, like, that's probably an example of someone, like, making me be humble. You know what I mean? Like, because I was just like, whoa. But yeah, but I just feel like I just haven't made it. Or even if I get to another level of success in my career, I still feel like I have more to achieve and accomplish. Kind of like Shonda Rhimes, where people are like, oh, you know, why is she leaving ABC? Why is she going to Netflix? But I think she still needs to challenge herself. Like, she's not done yet. Yeah. You know, like, she's like, oh, I still need to challenge myself. I still want to show other things to the world that she can't with ABC, so she's, you know, on to the next chapter in her life. And I think that's humbling too, like, just always climbing up that ladder, like climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing, you know, and keep going and keep going and keep going to achieve other things.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, all of that, I mean, that, yeah, that quest, that continual quest is, I think that helps to keep you grounded. Just like you said, it's, I mean, cause that's what life's all about. I mean, if you, you know, you stop learning, you stop growing, you essentially die. And so,
yeah.
But I mean, always staying with it and just, you know, I think all of that really, really helps. So, so we're getting ready for the holidays. And I know that, during the holidays, it's a, you know, it's oftentimes it's a slow period for actors and people in the entertainment industry. But it's also a time where they can, you know, spend a lot of time with their family. You yourself, what are you most looking forward to with the holidays coming up?
Well, usually for Thanksgiving, like, it slows down for Thanksgiving, and I never leave town because it's such a quick, like, turnaround time. And, like, the plane tickets are so expensive. So I know when Thanksgiving comes up, I'm like, great. Like, I'll, like, just, like, catch up on things, relax. And I learned to do my Black Friday shopping online. Like, I don't go to the stores anymore. I was like, yeah, I'm not playing that game anymore. It's too exhausting, too brutal, too many games. So I'll, like, I'll shop online and, like, I'll just, like, catch up on things that I'm behind on. And for Christmas, that's when I leave. Like, I'm going to go home for Christmas for 3 weeks. And I am actually looking forward to not only spending time with my family and, like, catching up with my friends, but I'm looking forward to, like, just relaxing and, like, not doing anything at all. Because, like, I've been going from, like, that's one of the things I'm really, really looking forward to. Even though I feel like I probably, like, they say that when you take a vacation, you need a vacation from your vacation. Like, I'm sure I'm not going to be, like, idle for too long, but, like, you know, from January, like, on, like, it's just on the go, working, like, hustling, like, doing all these things. Like, when Christmas comes around, I'm like, I don't want to think about LA. Like, I don't want to do any, like, thing with the business. Like, I'm going to take the rest of the year off and then, like, reflect on all the blessings I've had throughout the year. And, like, I'm just looking forward to doing absolutely nothing. And then just being with my friends and family and then just eating a bunch of food and not working out until, like, the new year comes.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Man, I love it. Well, Jessica, I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to thank you so much for joining me on tonight's show, and I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, thanks for having me on the show. Like, it's been exciting. Like we talked about, like, so much stuff. I loved all your questions, and I'm so grateful that you had me as a guest on the show. But if anyone wants to follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all three is at Jessica A. Caesar. I know. I was like, it's just as simple as, like, the same throughout. Like, I was like, I don't want to be all creative and, like, think of some random things. Like, I'll just use my name.
Yeah, because it kind of annoys me, like, when the handle is so unique to where, like, you can't find, like, you have to Google their name.
Oh, I know. There's so many people where it's like, it's the Live 75, and then Twitter is like, Vegan for Life, or, you know what I mean, like, just something totally different. Where I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to, like, I was like, you pretty much put their names in the find it.
Exactly. I was like, I just don't get it. Man. But yeah, thank you so much, Jessica. I really appreciate it. And is there any are there any new projects that you have coming out towards the end of the year or before the year's out?
My episode of Vice Principals, it will air this Sunday, even though it's still October. Mean Queens is on the internet, YouTube, or you can go to Hoo Ha Ha and watch it. That will still be up towards the end of the year. I did do a film called Punching Bag. It stars Bree Turner. She was on Grimm. Even though when I did Grimm, I didn't work with her, so it was cool that I worked with her on this film. And we had a private screening of it last week, but I know that they're going to send it to Sundance and do the festival circuits with it. So hopefully there'll be more news I can provide about that. But for now, yeah, that's what I have going on for now until the year's up.
Okay. I mean, that's still some good stuff. You got some good stuff coming, so I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. Well, Jessica, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Guys, that was our interview, our exclusive interview with actress Jessica A. Caesar. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iPhone or your Apple device. If you got an Apple device of any kind, you can listen to this program by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the Apple Store, the iTunes Store, rather. From the iTunes Store, just search podcasts, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. Once you search for that, you can begin listening all free of charge. Android users, have no fear. We're available for you as well. From the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, and you'll hear this interview as well. Lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can watch us right in the privacy of your own home. We've got over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews all free of charge. From the Roku Channel Store, just search for our name, Witten Radio. And once you find us, just download the app. Once you download the app, you can begin streaming all free of charge.